Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church. Now, a lot of people are kind of getting used to having church online on their TVs and not congregating in a building.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
We're
supposed to be 6 feet apart. But if we hold our feet sideways, we can make six in between there.
So
we're trying to comply, right?
Six. Yeah.
I just figured there's some really common sense things that you need to exercise at times like this. Mm-hmm. One is, if you're going to wear a mask, understand that it will breathe. Because if it didn't breathe, it would choke you.
Right. Taking in air.
Yeah. And,
exactly.
And they say some spit is actually going out. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to hear. But the thing is, just use some common sense.
That's exactly right. You know, we should always use common sense. When it's flu season, when we get a cold in the summertime, we should isolate ourselves. We should take precautions to always wash our hands. And like you say, just use some common sense about it all. Anyway, we're glad that you have joined us for Cowboy Church. Sit back and relax. We're going to have a great time.
Old tin roof, the leaves in the gutter, a hole in the screen door, big as your fist, and flies on the butter. Mamaw baking sugar cookies, and we were watching cartoons. I hear her yelling from the kitchen, which one of you youngins wants to lick the spoon? Yellow jackets on the watermelon, a honeysuckle in the air, and daddy turning on the sprinkler, us kids running through it in our underwear. Old dog napping on the front porch, his ear just a twitching. I fell asleep on granddaddy's lap to the sound of his pocket watch a ticking. Whoa, 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 whoa.
It doesn't seem like it's been all that long ago. Whoa.
You can dream about it every now and then, but you can't go home again. Me and my best friend Jenny set up a backyard camp, stole one of Mama's mason jars, poked holes in the lid and made a firefly lamp. And me and Billy Monroe sneaking down by the river, still haunted by the taste of the kiss I was too scared to give him.
Whoa, 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 whoa. It doesn't seem like it was all that long ago. Whoa, 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 whoa.
And you can dream about it every now and then, but you can't go home again. Mm-hmm. There's a black top road, a faded yellow center line. It can take you back to the place, but it can't take you back in time.
Whoa,
whoa.
It doesn't seem like it was all that long ago.
You can dream about it every now and then, but you can't go home again. Old tin room, the leaves in the gutter, the hole in the screen door, big as your fist, and flies on the butter. Ooh, oh, oh. When the rain is blowing in your face, and the whole world is on your case, I could offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love.
When the evening shadows and the stars appear, and there's no one there to dry your tears, I would hold you for a million years to make you feel my love. I know you haven't made your mind up yet,
but I will never
known it from the moment that we met.
No doubt in my mind where you belong. I'd go hungry, I'd go black and blue, and I'd go crawling down the avenue. No, there's nothing that I would to make you feel my love.
The storms are raging on the rolling sea
and on the highway of regret.
The winds of change are blowing wild and free,
and you ain't seen nothing like me yet. I can make you happy, make your dreams come true.
Oh, there's nothing that I wouldn't do.
Go to the ends of the earth for you to make you feel. To make you feel my love. To make you feel my love. There's nothing that God won't do. To the ends of the earth, gave his son Jesus for you to make you feel his love.
All of us, whether we don't own anything, we have to understand that God's in charge of this, and it's not ours. Nothing is ours. It's all God's. And God has incorporated us into His program so that we can be managers of what He says that we get to manage. It's all His. And He's doing the ultimate for this guy. He's telling him, okay, then if you want to enter this relationship, this is how this relationship works for you, because you want to be the highest. You want to be one of the disciples. You want to be one. You're going to have to give it all up, because I know that there's a problem in your life with that, and you're worshiping the wrong God. So you, 100%. I wonder, oftentimes when I read that, is he could have been the Apostle Paul. He could have been the guy to write a third of the New Testament, but he refused because he had a temporary look at life, and he thought his look at life was the right look at life instead of God's look at life. So when we get to know God, we get a different perspective on how life is to be lived. And when we get the right perspective, look, when you get the right perspective, it takes all the pressure off of you. So I'm not in charge of this thing. God is. Man, it's so pleasant to be able to step back in the middle of the worst difficult time you can imagine, say, God's in charge of this. And if God's in charge of this, I don't have to worry about it, do I? Guys, I'm going to tell you, the fear-mongering that's going on in the world today, Christians need to stand up and revolt, not against all of the other things we're revolting over, but we need to revolt against the fear and begin to think in terms that God wants us to think in, and be smart and use great wisdom and stand up and be men and women of God and let God do what God wants to do through us. God created you in such a way that the most beautiful thing that can happen is for us to give it back to Him and watch what He can do with it. So let's get through these. Paul said it like this in Philippians. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I press on and I forget the past. Press on and forget the past. And just get that one. That's good enough if you can get that one. Let's go to the next one. It's a life force. I told you that a sexual encounter is because it's right before God, and because of that sexual encounter, there's a life force. I want to talk to you about the life force of knowing God. It's not just being born again. I mean, we already have a certain amount of life. You wouldn't have had a chance to be born again if you hadn't been living as a person. So we have life in us. But when we come to God and we have an encounter with God, what God does is He produces life in us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we get to understand that, the life force with the encounter we have with God is spirit and life. Look at this. A thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. So, well, Russ, didn't you just say the difficult times are some of the best times? Yeah. See, the key thing is perspective here. When you get God's perspective on what's going on, that's abundant life. I mean, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter how the world thinks. It's abundant life. You know, when I broke my pelvis, I was laying in the hospital room, and it was excruciating pain. And they would come in and get me up and make me walk, and they'd bring me back and take x-rays to see if my pelvis is going to hold together. I can't tell you how bad that hurt. And then they would get me up again, and they'd walk me, and they'd take another picture to see if it was going to hold together. And so they were getting ready to go through that process for the next day. And this little gal that we invited to church, Father's Day in 2018, She comes into the hospital room. She's speaking with an accent. You could tell she'd come in from Africa. So I asked her where she's from, and she told me. And I said, what brings you to America? You see, the thing is, just before she walked in, the pain was so intense that I prayed, and I said, God, I know all things work together for good. Just don't let me hurt so bad that I miss what you're trying to do here. Because it's his perspective, see? And I said, what brought you here? And she says this in her little African accent. She goes, I am an advocate for the unborn child. I said, really? Tell me about that. And I mean, I'm trying to be nice even at that point. I said, tell me about that. And she goes, she has this little finger she puts up like this. She goes, do you know who loses the most at the death of an unborn child? I knew she wanted to tell me something, so I just said, no. And I thought, well, the kid is one I would guess. She goes, it's the man. Wait a minute. I say, explain that one to me. She goes, the Bible says that a man is supposed to be king and priest and leader of his home. And if he destroys the people he's supposed to be king, leader, and priest, then he destroys his legacy. I said, wow, do you ever preach in churches and stuff? And she said, I used to in Africa, but nobody wants me here. I said, well, I do. I want you to come to my church. And she starts weeping. She says this. She said, this morning when I prayed, I told God, I can't open any more doors. If you want me to change what you call me to do, I'm ready. But if you want me to still maintain that I'm an advocate for the unborn child, you're going to have to open doors for me to speak in the next church. See, in the middle of the most difficult times, we have the richest experiences. Yes. Well, come here. They can't understand you, and I can't say it like you can.
Russ works with leather. He builds saddles and belts and works with different things. And I was thinking about when he talked about the adversities in life, a long strip of leather can be made into a belt, just plain. But what makes those belts beautiful and unique and valuable is the tooling and the cutting and the when he cuts a pattern into it and hammers it and pounds it and stains it, To that pure strip of leather, that might seem like an adversity or a hardship or a valley or a trial. But to the beholder of the belt, that makes it beautiful. It's just an analogy for you.
It's a good deal. Thank you, Anna. That's a word, guys. I don't know who's going through what you're going through today. But I will tell you this, that God does. And God knows how to take you through to the other side where you should be. And the last thing we have here is just a small point from the guy's name is Charlie Munger. He does seminars on investing and stuff with Warren Buffett. And he uses this. He says, there's no solutions. There's only trade-offs. I've never been a really good horse trader. My dad was good at it. My brother's good at it. Of course, he's good at anything if it's money. And Jordan's good at it. But I had a genetic defect right in the middle of all of this. And I've never been really good at it. But I can tell you when there's a good deal. And when I look at this whole concept here, I understand when it's a good deal. And here's what a good deal is I can't get to heaven without Jesus, and God offered it, and he says, I'll take all your sins, I'll take everything away if you just accept my son. man, my horse trading awareness just goes, hey, something's wrong here. This deal can't be this good. If you ever traded horses, you know what that feels like. So, hey, this can't be that good. And I can't figure out why in the world God would do that. And then one day I began to understand why he would make this trade. Is because mankind is the only entity in all of God's creation that will serve him because of the choice. And that interaction of knowing each other is what God wants in this thing. I win in this transaction. There's no way for me to say no to this. It's such a good deal. Even a guy who can't trade horses any better than I can, I know that's a good deal. And I'm going to take advantage of that good deal. But my idea is, why would God do this? And the reason is he wants to know us and us to know him, and that process and that experience together. I know that God knows everything. But there's a little part of me that says it's got to surprise him sometimes, some of the things people come up with. It's got to delight his heart to think this guy can actually think creatively and be a part of what he created. And most of all, that we would choose to go through this process with him. Now, I understand it. I understand it because I have kids. Now, only one of my kids chose the rodeo stuff, so all of my stuff was all rodeo stuff, you know? So the two, they didn't get very much stuff out of me. I mean, I tried, I was there, they got me. But Jordan, because he rodeoed, he got everything. When he needed a horse to ride, he took my horse. You know, when Levi needed a baseball mitt, we had to go buy one. I didn't know what kind of a mitt to buy. When Jordan needed a horse, it's my horse. When he needed a saddle, use my saddle. When he needed a truck to get to the rodeo, guess whose truck he used? It was mine. And you know how I felt about it? Well, I'm so glad one of them boys chose the rodeo. We can have this kind of fellowship. Yeah, Levi chose music, and we got some deals out of music, but I mean, all I had was a guitar compared to all this other stuff. But do you know why God made this deal? It's because it's so nice to have one person that would choose him because we're interested in him. What do you need? Yeah. Now let's go do this together. Let's go do this together. We need to learn to know each other, and it's about the trade-offs. The trade-off is we can't lose, but the trade-off for him is he gets to experience us also. You have to be a dad to understand why in the world it would even be worth it to God to make that kind of an exchange for us. So here's the deal. You want to know God? God wants to know you. He put you together. He knows all about you. He knows all that stuff. But God wants a relationship. He wants a connection. And every one of those relationships that we have is complete and unique in its own unique way. No relationship is just the same. That's why a marriage relationship is so wonderful, because we realize that there's only one person that I can have that kind of a relationship and get to know in that kind of a way, and it's my lovely wife. There's only one entity that I can have this kind of a relationship, and it's with my Savior. It's with my God.